the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, the Scripture bids us to talk about something that probably most of us like to talk about, maybe me more than many others, eating, food. So let me ask you a question. How do you know when it's time to eat? I can't hear you. You're hungry, that's right. You get hungry. Your brain kind of tells you that it's time to eat because you're hungry. It causes hunger. It's kind of strange like that. But sometimes what happens is our brains get out of sync with our bodies to where we're hungry when we don't really need food and we overeat. Who's ever done that? You don't have to. Okay, good. No one's lying here in church today. Or we need food, but what? We're not hungry. It's kind of strange that way. That's called an eating disorder. Very common. It's a brain thing. It can be very destructive to the body. Eating gives us energy. It gives us growth. It feeds us. It gives us health. Take just a basic loaf of bread, just a common loaf of bread that you buy at the store. All of the energy of the sun and the nutrients of the soil, those things kind of get compressed down into that grain that the bread is made out of. And when you eat it, you incorporate all of that stuff into your bodies. You are what you eat, we say, right? Which is supposed to mean that if you eat healthy food, then you'll be what? Healthy. If you eat garbage food, you'll be what? Unhealthy. That's right. When I first heard that as a kid, I had a fairly serious concern that I was going to turn into a hot dog. You know, I'm not the brightest of kids. I quickly learned, though, that that's not the way that things work out, thankfully. It's not literally true. In fact, if we go to Carowinds today, like the kids are talking, I don't know if they've talked to you about this, I'll probably eat a hot dog or two. But in fact, quite the opposite is true, if you think about it. What you eat becomes what you are, right? It's not the other way around. What you eat becomes what you are. All of the proteins and the minerals and the vitamins, the sugars, the fats, especially the fats, when you get older, they become part of you. They become part of you. So, now that I've got your mind thinking about food, and they're grumbling, right? Your stomachs are grumbling. Let's talk about a different kind of food. Different kind of food. Because it's not the food that becomes what you are. This is the kind of food that is different. It's a kind of food that Jesus gives to us. Jesus who says, I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. I am the food that you eat to eternal life. This is the kind of food that when you eat it, it transforms you, right? It doesn't become what you are. You become what it is. All of the other food that we eat to our death, just like our fathers in the desert. They ate it to their death. That's the outcome of Adam's eating of the forbidden food. But Jesus, the bread of life, it is an entirely different food in our diet. He is the bread that conquers Adam's death. He is the bread that conquers Adam's sinful eating. He is the bread that overcomes our affliction because he is the bread that brings life forever out of his own death. And it's important that our Lord says he is the bread of life. What does he not say? He does not say, I am the Twinkie of life, or I am the hot dog of life, or I'm the funnel cake, or the caviar of life. because he didn't mean for us to consider him to be this little delicacy that we eat every now and again on very infrequent occasions. He is the bread of life. He is the staple of life. Right? He is to be had every day. We are to feast on him all the time. He is to be at the very center of our lives. That's what he means when he says he is the bread of life. That's why the church never treated the Lord's Supper as if it was something, you know, kind of special in the sense that we do it very infrequently, hardly ever at all. Rather, it was something they did whenever they met the early church, weekly at first. On which day? The Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection. Which is what day of the week? Sunday. Sunday. And then at times in our history, every day. In fact, Luther communed daily all his life. Bread is to be regular food, constant food, staple food. And without our regular feeding on the bread of life, without prayer, without the Word of God, without the sacraments, what happens? Faith begins to weaken. Our souls begin to shrivel up like a raisin, just as surely as our bodies do without physical, regular food. When our eating is out of whack, we call it an eating disorder, right? There's spiritual eating disorders too. I remember when I was younger, I mentioned this just briefly in Bible study this morning. Remember the crazy excuses that I'd come up with, just the silly ways in which I tried to justify to myself and justify to God for not going to worship, for not devoting time every day to daily prayer. Right? When, I mean, just the easiest occasions to do it, driving down the road even. And I'd just be thinking about something else or listening to Jimi Hendrix too loud. The excuses I'd come up with for not dwelling on, not even reading God's Word. Why, if we believe in Jesus, would we ever do this? Because the old Adam is an excuse maker. It's not my fault, Lord. That woman gave me the fruit. That woman caused me to eat. One of my favorite excuses in the Bible, by the way. That woman. We make excuses for everything, don't we? For everything. We make excuses about there not being any time for church. No time for the supper that our Lord longs for us to feast on. Because through it, he gives us his own life. No time for that. We've got other things to do. No time for Bible study. No time for prayer. No time to devote myself to my God every day. There's always plenty of time to do my stuff. Things of the world. The world's idea of food. Junk food, really. The average American watches 34 hours of TV a week, right? That's Nielsen research for you right there. 34 hours a week. Who's ever complained, and I'll raise my hand too, who's ever complained that the pastor goes on a little too long in his sermons? We go over that 1 hour that we allot on Sundays for Jesus. And we give 34 hours to junk food. To junk food. What do we have? We've got TV. We've got consumerism. We shop for all the junk. Amazon makes it so easy. Got mudslinging politics that we just love to get into, don't we? Oh boy, looking for a fight. And things like Facebook, I've given up on Facebook. There's too many arguments that I can't get involved in. I mean, I know you guys are probably better at parsing through all of that stuff and regulating it than I am, but I can't do it anymore. But the thing is, my point is, our fleshly appetites, they're drawn to just this kind of stuff, right? This junk food, this worldly food. Kind of like, you know, when we eat down here, the fellowship hall or the Family Life Center, and we see that table full of desserts, right? And our sweet tooth pulls us away from the bread line to the dessert line. It does me anyway. That's what happens when you have Adam's taste buds for forbidden fruit. Real food. The bread that feeds you into eternal life. It starts to taste bland. It starts to taste boring and dull. No time for feasting on God's word. No time for prayer and worship. No time for Jesus. I read a while back, maybe I've mentioned this before, but I just think it's just incredible. I read a while back, a few years ago, that we're actually starting to prefer the taste of artificial flavoring over real flavor, over natural flavoring, right? So the fake manufactured super sugary taste of blueberries that you have in all of your muffins, right? You know those aren't blueberries that you buy from the store. Those aren't blueberries. They're fake blueberries. It's just a bunch of sugar compressed and thrown into a bunch of flour. We're actually starting to prefer that garbage to real blueberries that we pick in our backyard. It's crazy. We actually prefer the sound of digitalized music to live band. It's just kind of the progression, where it's where we are in our society. We'd rather be tuned to artificial sound than real sound. Same is true for our spiritual taste, right? Sugary, sweet sentimentality, these cutesy little life lessons, so much more enticing than the sturdy, nutrient-rich preaching of the Word. The Word of God preached in its purity. There are many who would actually prefer to hear a false gospel than to be confronted with the Word of God that might actually demand we change our lives, that we actually turn around and repent from what we are doing. Why? Because it's easier. We like fast food. We like McDonald's. We don't want that. We don't want the hard word of Jesus Christ, because that might make us turn away like the disciples in the gospel. We want funnel cake. And then you know what we want to do? We want to go to sleep. Bread doesn't seem like all that great of a meal, does it? McDonald's is much more to our palate. We'd prefer it if Jesus says, I am the McDonald's of life. I am whatever you want, as much as you want, whenever you want it. Or maybe more appropriately, the Burger King of life. You get it your way right away. Bread doesn't seem like much of a meal. Word and sacrament don't seem like much of a religion either. But ordinary bread, that loaf of bread that we started out with, in the hands of God, becomes the very bread of life. Bread given for your eternity. Food that you can get from nowhere else but the Son of God. Not on your TV, not in your politics, or anywhere else. Eat this meal. Eat this food. That's to say that we don't have life. We don't have true life in anywhere else but in the Son of God, whose name is Jesus. Not by my works, Lord, but by your work. Not my sacrifices, but your sacrifice. Not my stupid, petty crosses, but your cross. Your cross, and yours alone. Not by my blood and sweat, but by his. By these things, will Jesus raise us up on the last day, just as he promised. Because his resurrection is the yeast of immortality. That's what Jesus, the bread of life, does, that no other bread in the world can do. He shall raise us up at the last day. No other religion can make that promise to you. Only Jesus died, and only Jesus rose. And only Jesus can make the statement in verse 54 of the gospel, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That's our hope as his disciples. Not that we have it easy in this life, not that we always are happy and joyful in this life, as we saw last week with the prophet. Not that we're saved from every difficult situation that befalls us. Not that we're successful in everything that we do, because we're not. Nor are we spared from every sickness. But that Jesus, the crucified and risen God, will raise us up with him on the last day. That is his promise. What more could we ever need than that? Jesus is the bread of immortality. Eat of him, trust in him, cling to him, and you not only live forever, but he himself will come to you and raise you up on the last day. As your brother and your friend. Those who heard Jesus say all of this, what did they do? They grumbled when they heard it. They grumbled when they heard Jesus saying he was going to give them himself to feast on. They grumbled. And it wasn't the grumbling of empty bellies aching for food. It was the grumbling of hardened, hard, empty hearts. The grumbling of a spiritual eating disorder, unwilling to receive what the Lord so longed to give them. They didn't want it, and you know why? Because they didn't want him. They didn't want Jesus. They couldn't accept a God who came down as flesh and blood from heaven and offered himself up as their true food for the life of the world. They didn't want that kind of God. Islam denies it. Judaism rejects it. Buddhism, Hinduism, every other religion, they all deny it. They have to deny it, because if they don't, they don't deny that Jesus is the true incarnate God, then they're all out of business. Only the flesh and blood of the God become man, Jesus Christ, can save your flesh and your blood from the grave. Only the blood of God's Son can cleanse from sin. Only the flesh of God's Son, offered up for the life of the world, can raise up your flesh from the grave on the last day. Our life comes from his death. Don't forget that when you leave here. Don't forget that as you live your day-to-day lives. Watch out for that spiritual eating disorder. The flesh offered up and the blood spilled at his death. That is our source of life. If we have any power in us at all, it is only from Him. Don't forget that. And the life of our God is given to us over and over and over again in the meal that He feeds us with here today. Over and over again, longs for you to run to it. In eating earthly, physical food, the McDonald's food, we incorporate all of the energies, all of the vitalities of that food, and we bring them into our bodies, releasing them. But when we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, it is exactly the opposite. All of the energies, all of the life, the vitality of the crucified and risen flesh of the Son of God are incorporated into you. Drink His blood and you will live forever. Eat His flesh and He will raise you up at the last. Because with this food, as we were all taught so very long ago, with this food, you are indeed what you eat. Even the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.